Keep your Bibles open to Book of Exodus chapter 20. We are going to zoom into verse 7, and we are going to exegete this verse and see how and what the Lord has laid in this verse for us this morning. My name is Ajit. I was given this name by my parents. Ajit is a name from Hindi language. Ajit means invincible. Invincible means incapable of being conquered or defeated. I don't know why my parents gave me this name, but I know that they were looking for a name which has good meaning, and so they chose this name for me. Contrary to the meaning of my name, I was conquered by Christ in the year 2000, and since then I have been his slave. In most cultures, parents name their children. This is one of the ways parents exercise their authority over their children. When we were expecting our first child, we were looking for a name that comes from Hindi language and that tells a brief story of how God has been merciful to us in how God was giving to us this baby. So God, in his wisdom, he showed us a name. So we named our baby, our first child, Upkar, which means benevolence or goodness. We received Upkar because of God's benevolence. I was told by some of you that in Australia, people generally give their children the names that they like. Or children receive one of their names, maybe middle name, from one of their parents or forefathers. Whatever the case, it is true that human beings do not name themselves. When asked, we tell our names. But we don't name ourselves. By contrast, one of the remarkable things about the God of the Bible is that no one ever named him. God reveals his true name in his word, the Bible. This makes the God of the Bible distinct. In other religions, people make their own gods, they shape their own gods with their own hands and name them. But in the Bible, God himself reveals his name and gives it to his people so that they may worship him. God exercises complete authority and sovereignty over his worship. He doesn't leave it for people to figure out how to worship him and what name they should use in worship to call him. And today we are going to study the third commandment. Here God not only gives his name, but he tells us how to use his name and how not to use his name. You would recall from previous sermons that God gave these Ten Commandments to the people of Israel after delivering them from the slavery of Egypt. God did not give these Ten Commandments so that he could deliver them after they have obeyed. Rather, God gave these Ten Commandments so that Israelites may obey these Ten Commandments as a sign of their gratitude to him and live as his children in the land that God was giving to them. By giving the first commandment, God was instructing the Israelites that they ought to serve and worship him alone. The first commandment deals with the object of worship. Who should be worshipped? People of Israel must worship Yahweh alone, because he has redeemed them and Yahweh is the only true God. If the first commandment instructs about how who of worship, the second commandment instructs us about how to worship. The only true God, Yahweh, ought to be worshipped without any graven image or idol or icon or even symbol. The people of Israel were prohibited from making and worshipping any representation of Yahweh. God was not simply prohibiting people of Israel from worshipping idols, but he was instructing them that he doesn't want to be worshipped through idols. So the first commandment prohibited the worship of false god, whereas the second commandment prohibited the worship of true God falsely. Now, as we venture into studying the third commandment, we must remember that the theme of the worship of God continues even in the third commandment. God gives more detail of how he wants his people to worship him. Let us read the third commandment again. So keep your Bibles open. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 20 verse 7 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Dear friends, please note, unlike the first two commandments, here God refers to himself in the third person. In the first commandment, God said, "You shall have no other gods before me." So God, you know, spoke in the first person. But here, in the third commandment, God refers to himself in the third person more directly. God doesn't say, "You shall not take my name in vain." Instead, God says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Why does God do this? He does this to call attention to his special covenant name, Yahweh. That is his name. God has already introduced himself in verse 2 by saying, "I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And here in the third commandment, by speaking in the third person, God reminds his personal name, Yahweh, again to his people. God first revealed his personal name during the burning bush incident in Exodus chapter 3. The name that God revealed to Moses was his personal name, Yahweh. It is sometimes called the tetragrammaton, because in Hebrew language, it consists of four letters. Yod, He, Vav, He. Four Hebrew letters. In our English Bibles, it is translated as L-O-R-D with all capital letters. So whenever you see L-O-R-D, Lord, in capital letters, you know that in Hebrew it's the name Yahweh. The name Yahweh means "I am who I am," or "I will be who I will be." It speaks of God's self-existence, God's self-sufficiency, and supreme sovereignty. Yahweh is much more than a name. It is God's identity. In Hebrew language, there is a high view of names. For many people in Australia, India, and other countries, name is merely a label. A name is something that a person has, not something that the person is. But for Hebrew people, name was inseparable from the person. Name expressed a person's identity. In the similar way, Yahweh represents God's entire reputation. In fact, just to let you know that Hebrew has one word called Shem, which means either name or reputation. So Shem means name or reputation in Hebrew. The name Yahweh is much more than a convenient way of addressing God. Yahweh represents God's entire reputation. It refers to the essence of His divine being. Yahweh is one word, sum total of all God's attributes and all the works of God. In short, God's name, Yahweh, expresses who God is and what He does. Therefore, it deserves utmost reverence and honor. With this theological understanding, let us approach the third commandment. Like the rest of God's moral law, the third commandment has both negative and positive aspects. We will first look at the negative aspect. The Bible says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." So we see the word "not." So negative aspect. A literal translation would be, a more rude or wooden translation would be, "You shall not lift up the name of the Lord your God for nothingness." What does it mean to lift up God's name? And how can people lift up God's name in vain? Now consider this commandment as a diamond. We are going to look at this commandment from different angles. First of all, the Hebrew term nasa means to bear or to carry. Right? To bear or to carry. And here the object of bearing or carrying is the name of the Lord. So you carry or you bear the name of the Lord. To carry God's name meant to carry His reputation, His character. And here God is saying, "You shall not bear or carry the reputation or name of the Lord in vain." We know that some people take up the name of God because they want to look good or pious or religious. But in reality, their beliefs and lifestyle is ungodly. Such people misuse the name of God. Secondly, the Hebrew term nasa was also used in legal situations to refer to the taking of an oath. When witnesses needed to confirm their testimony, instead of swearing on the Bible, they used to lift up a hand and swore by God's name. In ancient times, by using the name of God, people tried to persuade others that they were telling the truth. It happens in many cultures even today. Either in court or in business deal or just in normal life. In effect, they were calling God as witnesses to what they were saying. The problem came when people took an oath in the name of God and then proceeded to tell a lie. So you can imagine that the name of God and lie is in the same sentence. Misusing the name of God. One example would be promising someone something by the name of Yahweh. In this case, the statement would be, they would say like this, "I guarantee you that my promise is true, or Yahweh may kill me or punish me if I don't keep my promise." Another example would be giving a legal testimony. In that case, the sentence would be, "I swear that my testimony in this legal matter is true, with the guarantee that Yahweh may kill me or punish me if my testimony is not true." But the third commandment prohibited the Israelites from invoking the name of God. as a guarantor of someone's words. The third commandment says, don't use God's name in swearing false oaths. So you see, friends, the core idea behind this commandment is the prohibition of perjury. Perjury means lying under an oath. Perjury means you take an oath in the name of God and then you proceed to say falsehood. So the Bible says you shall not lift up the name of the Lord your God to falsehood. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 12 says, you shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. Thirdly, the third commandment prohibited using the name of God for sorcery or necromancy. Necromancy means contacting the dead people for their own gain, or for any other kind of magical practices. In the ancient world, the non-Israelites believed they could gain access to the supernatural power by using the divine name in their magical incantations. They called upon their gods to heal their bodies, to tell the future, and also to give them victory in their battles. For many years, Israelites, we know from the Bible, they lived in the land of Egypt, in the country of Egypt. And the Egyptians specialized in such evil practices. But by giving the third commandment, God prohibits the Israelites from using his name in such evil practices. Unlike pagan gods, Yahweh refuses to be manipulated. We cannot manipulate God by calling his name. Fourthly, the third commandment prohibited using the name of God for false prophecy. In the Old Testament, the prophets always said, thus says the Lord. We find this formula often in the Bible. Thus says the Lord. However, when a false prophet tried to quote God this way, it was a lie, and therefore an abuse of God's holy name. The book of Jeremiah tells about such problem. False prophecy was an attempt to use God's special divine name to advance a person's personal agenda. But God clearly prohibits the use of his name to make a false prophecy. God's people are not to use his name for promoting their own agenda. Now, one more thing that we have to note here is that God's people were not forbidden to use God's name. Because, you know, when we read this verse, it seems like, okay, we should not use God's name. If God's name is so holy, so, okay, we will not use it. No, no, no. That's not what God is saying. If God did not want his people to use his name, he would not have given them. It's not the use of God's name that is prohibited, but the misuse of God's name that is prohibited. Many Orthodox Jews took this commandment too far. They refused to use the name of Yahweh at all for the fear of misusing it. But God wants his people to use his name. This is clear from the fact that name Yahweh appears almost 7,000 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. God gave us his name so that we would be able to address him personally. When we call him Yahweh, it strengthens our love relationship with him. We are his children. We call our father by his name, Yahweh. So negatively speaking, the third commandment prohibits us from speaking the name of God carelessly or thoughtlessly. We should not dishonor the name of God by using it for swearing an oath or making a promise or making a false prophecy. We should not use the name of God for our own advantage. Positively speaking, the third commandment instructs the Israelites that God's name has to be held in high reverence and respect. And it should be used only in the way it is prescribed in His Word. Instead of taking God's name in vain, we should take the name of God with all soberness and sincerity and seriousness. The third commandment defends the honor of God's name. To speak Yahweh's name was to recognize His awesome power and His glory and His holiness. In the scripture, we find His name is honored and proclaimed. God is glorified when we honor His name, when we praise His name. God is glorified when we proclaim His name and worship His name. The book of Psalms clearly exhibits how God's name ought to be used properly. Psalm 29 verse 2 says, "Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due His name." Psalm 66 verse 1 and 2 says, "Shout for joy to God all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise." Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Not only the book of Psalms, but the other books of the Bible are filled with verses and passages which glorify the name of the Lord. Another way Israelites could bear God's name properly was living as the people of God. Israelites were supposed to imitate God's character. They were expected to glorify God's name by living holy life in the midst of unholy people. As we wrap up this point, we must remember that God's name is honorable and it deserves our utmost reverence and respect. What happens if anyone fails to do this? What happens if anyone breaks this commandment? Well, the Bible says, if anyone fails to obey this commandment, the Lord will not hold him guiltless. The Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes His name in vain. The third commandment, you would notice, it does not specify the precise punishment, but it clearly means God will condemn those who misuse His name. The reason God will condemn them is because His name is holy and misusing His name is a very great sin. Misuse of God's name is a direct attack on His character and His glory. And anyone who makes such an attack deserves to be condemned and punished. There are several examples in the Bible where God punished those who misused His name. In the book of Leviticus chapter 24, we read about an incident in which a fight broke out between two men. One was a son of an Israelite woman and an Egyptian father, and another was an Israelite. As they fought, the man of mixed descent blasphemed the name of God with a curse. Those who witnessed it, they brought him to Moses. And the Lord did not hold him guiltless, but ordered the entire assembly to stone him to death. You can read it in Leviticus chapter 24. Let's take one example from the New Testament. The book of Acts chapter 19 tells us that Paul was in his missionary journey in the city of Ephesus. God did extraordinary miracles through him. There was a group of Jewish men who were watching what Paul was doing. They noticed that whenever Paul performed any miracle, he would do it in the name of Jesus. They were seven sons of a Jewish priest named Sceva. Now, they thought they could do it. They tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, seven of them, and overpowered them all. And he gave them such a beating that they ran out of house naked and bleeding. The seven sons of Sceva misused God's name. They employed the name of the Lord Jesus to perform magic tricks for their own personal gain. And God did not hold them guiltless, but allowed them to get the beating that they deserved. God preserved the honor of his name there. Now it's time for us to look at this commandment as Christians. How should we understand and apply this commandment, this third commandment, as Christians? First of all, we must understand the meaning of the name Jesus. The name Jesus, or Jesus in Greek, it comes from Hebrew name Yeshua. In English, we have the word Joshua. And Yeshua means Yahweh is salvation. Jesus was given that name because he was going to save his people from their sins. So you see, friends, within the name of Jesus, there is the name Yahweh. Secondly, in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Apostle Paul quotes the prophecy from Joel. Paul says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But the Lord in the prophecy of Joel is the word Yahweh. You see what I'm getting at? Paul is quoting from Joel, and the word there is Yahweh. But when Paul uses in Romans chapter 10, he uses it in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see how Paul is thinking here. The Yahweh of the Old Testament is none other than the Jesus Christ of the New Testament. We Christians believe that Yahweh himself incarnated in Jesus. So we Christians understand the third commandment like this: you shall not take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain, for the Lord Jesus Christ will not hold him guiltless who misuses or takes his name in vain. And we Christians fulfill the third commandment by not lifting the name of Lord Jesus Christ in vain. We take the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with utmost reverence and respect. We should also note here that Jesus himself fulfilled the third commandment in his life and ministry by not taking the name of God the Father in vain. Jesus always spoke the truth. He never swore by the name of God. In John chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus prayed, "Father, glorify your name." In John chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus said, "I do the works that I do in my Father's name." Jesus did everything to glorify the name of God the Father. Moreover, Jesus taught his disciples to honor God's name. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus said to his disciples, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." He taught his disciples. Jesus perfectly obeyed the third commandment by honoring the name of God the Father and revealing it to those who believed in him. My dear brothers and sisters, the perfect and obedient life of Jesus is our only hope before the throne of God. We know that we have broken the third commandment several times by lifting the name of God in vain. We have broken the third commandment several times by not giving the due honor and reverence to the name of God. But the Bible says Jesus died on the cross to forgive all the sins of those who believe in Him. Do you believe in Him? Jesus died to forgive our sin of even breaking the third commandment. Jesus also fulfilled the righteous requirement required by the third commandment on our behalf. And He gifted us the righteousness that He received by His perfect obedience. Now today, we stand free and guiltless before the throne of God because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. But it does not mean that a Christian has no obligation with regard to the third commandment. If the Lord shows us areas and times when we have broken the third commandment, we must confess our sins. We must confess that we have broken the third commandment. And God, He is true to His word. He will forgive us because of who He is and because of what Christ has done on the cross on our behalf. We must confess that we are tempted to dishonor the name of the Lord in several ways. Some of us are tempted to use the name of God as a swear word. Many people call down divine damnation on whatever or whoever happens to be a source of frustration. Some people use the name of Jesus Christ as a kind of exclamation point. As Christians, as born-again believers, we must watch our language. In his commentary on the book of Exodus, Philip Graham Ryken says, quote, "Most Christians try not to curse, at least not out loud, or at least not when anyone else is listening, but it is not uncommon for church-going people to use mild oaths like, gosh darn it, oh my God, what the heck, good Lord, I swear to God." Some people think these are manners of expression, but they are really just a more polite way to swear, unquote. Brothers and sisters, we have an obligation to watch our language. We have also a responsibility to remind others to watch their language. In our culture, a serious way in which some people break the third commandment is by using the name of God to advance their own agenda. Some Christians say, you must have heard this, "The Lord told me to do this." Or some people say, "The Lord told me to tell you to do this." This is a false prophecy. God has already said whatever He wanted to say in His word, the Bible. So any statement made by any person using the name of God in order to advance their own agenda is a serious offense of the third commandment. We must watch out for such people. And we ourselves must never do it. There are many other ways people misuse the name of God. I remember when I was a chaplain in Christian Hospital Chhatarpur in central India before coming to Australia. There was a custom in that place where they would recite the Lord's Prayer at the end of every chapel service. I observed that most people just prayed the Lord's Prayer as a mantra or just as a habit, without actually praying it from their heart. Most of those people were taking the name of God every day in vain. And I must confess that since it was a custom and everybody was praying, I also prayed the Lord's Prayer several times just as a habit, without meaning it from my heart. I took the Lord's name in vain, and I had to repent of my sin when the Lord showed me my sin. And I must tell you that as I was preparing this sermon, I was convicted of many times how I misuse the name of God. Take another example. We take the Lord's name in vain when we use the Christian greeting, "Praise the Lord," without meaning it. You know, it doesn't happen in Australia because the common greeting is G'day. But in India, you know, among the Christian circles, they say "Praise the Lord," even without meaning it. We misuse the name of God when we use the name of God for making jokes. We misuse God's name when we sing Christian songs with wrong theology. Often we find very little reverence to God in many churches. In our desire to feel closer to God, we have made Jesus into a cool buddy. So the understanding has gone full circle now, from Roman Catholicism to a very low view of Jesus. Now this cool buddy Jesus, he doesn't get bothered how you address him. So very little and less reverence for Jesus and how we live. The popular view of Jesus in churches is getting low and low day by day. As Christians, as born again Christians, we are expected to obey the third commandment by not taking the name of Jesus in vain and by honoring the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, Apostle Paul says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, everything, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Brothers and sisters, a Christian lives his life for the honor of God's name. A Christian is pretty careful in using the name of Jesus in sober context and for the purpose of God's glory. But there are many fake Christians who dishonor the name of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about such people. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" What a shock it will be. Many who call themselves Christians, many people who think that they are in Christian ministry, they will be rejected by Christ on the day of judgment. They will be condemned to hell on the day of judgment. The reason is because they were taking God's name in vain all along. Like the seven sons of Sceva, the name of Jesus was on their lips, but it was never in their heart. There is something more important that will happen on the day of judgment. The name of Jesus Christ will truly be praised. The Bible says that Jesus humbled himself and obeyed God to the point of death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. And my dear friends, as I was sitting there, I was thinking, the name of Jesus is more glorious than all of our names put together. God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Brothers and sisters, if that is the honor that Jesus will receive at the end of history, it is also the honor that he deserves right now. And we should give him the honor that he deserves. Brothers and sisters, we are Christians. We were born in different families, perhaps in different countries. We were given different names by our parents. But there is one common name that each of us have if we are the children of God. If you are the children of God, that name is Christian. I am Christian. You are Christian. We have common name. We Christians bear the name of Christ. It was by calling on the name of Christ that we were saved in the first place. Jesus gave us the right to become the children of God because we believed in his name. We were baptized in the name of God the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now the very name of Christ is associated with everything that we do. Our reputation is a reflection of his reputation. So we must make it our aim to honor his name in everything that we do. May God help us to live for his name and to honor his name in whatever we do. I must confess that even after making the script of the sermon, I did misuse the name of God. But then I went to the gospel again because I know that Jesus died to forgive that sin as well. We will keep sinning, but we will have the gospel of grace cover us, forgive us. We must come to him, confess our sins, repent of our sins, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that he forgives us. God is faithful and just in forgiving our sins. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to read your word, to understand your word, to be convicted of our sin and the righteousness of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for reminding us that your name is precious, your name is holy, your name deserves utmost reverence and respect. And Father, we pray that you would help us, O Lord, to carry your name not in vain, but in all reverence and glory and seriousness. Father, we pray that help us, O Lord, to live by the name that we have received. We must live as a Christian, as true Christian, as born-again Christians. And even if we fall, even if we sin, Father, we pray that you would help us, O Lord, not to be driven to despair, but to come to you, to run towards you, because you forgive us when we confess our sins and repent of our sins. Help us, O Lord. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name, we offer this prayer. Amen.